北京外国语大学，北京外语音像出版社。
The Beijing Foreign Languages Audiovisual Publishing House, Beijing Foreign Studies University.
做欣赏，理智与情感。
Sense and Sensibility。Chapter One: The Dashwoods. The Dashwoods lived in the southern English town of Sussex for many generations.They owned a large country house named Norland Park. The head of the family was old Mr. Dashwood, an elderly, unmarried gentleman. During the last years of Mr. Dashwood's life, he invited his nephew, Henry Dashwood, and his family to move into Norland Park. Henry Dashwood had one son, John, by his first wife,and three daughters by his present wife. John was a young man who had received a large inheritance from his mother. The Norland fortune was not as important to John as it was to his sisters, who had little money of their own. When old Mr. Dashwood died, Henry learned that his uncle had not left the fortune to him, but rather for him to use during his lifetime. When Henry died, the inheritance would pass to his son John,and then to John's son. This was because old Mr. Dashwood had been especially fond of John's son. But out of kindness, the old man left Henry's daughters £1,000 each. Henry wanted the fortune for his wife and daughters, but if he invested his money carefully, he would have enough to provide for them. Unfortunately, Henry suddenly died, unable to complete his plan. At this time,All that was left for his wife and daughters was £10,000. Shortly before his death, Henry begged his son John to take care of his stepmother and sisters. John did not have strong feelings for them, but he promised he would make them comfortable. He was not a bad man, but he was selfish and cold-hearted. His wife Fanny was even more selfish and cold-hearted than him. As soon as Henry was buried,Fanny came to Norland Park uninvited. She rudely informed Mrs. Dashwood and her daughters that Norland Park was now hers and that they were her guests. The recently widowed Mrs. Dashwood was terribly offended. She would have left the estate immediately if her eldest daughter had not begged her to reconsider. Eleanor was the eldest daughter.She possessed great intelligence and common sense. She was only 19, but she frequently advised her mother on important matters. Eleanor had an excellent sense of self-control, which her mother and her younger sister Marianne lacked. Like Eleanor, Marianne was generous, clever, and sensitive. But she had very strong emotions, which she was unable to hide. She was much like her mother.The youngest sister, Margaret, was a sweet 13-year-old who shared Marianne's emotional sensibility, but none of her intelligence. One day, John Dashwood reminded his wife of the promise he'd made to his dying father and said he wanted to give each of his sisters £1,000. However, Fanny disapproved of this gift.
You'll be taking £3,000 out of our son's future inheritance!She said. And you're only related to them by half-blood. They are hardly even your sisters.
I must do something for them when they leave Norland for a new home. Perhaps I should give them £500 each,
replied John.
That's too much, argued Fanny. You're very generous, but I think they'll be able to live very comfortably on the £10,000 your father left them.
That's true,
replied John.
Why don't I just give my stepmother £100 every year?
Yes, but I don't think your father meant for you to give them any money at all, replied Fanny. I think he wanted you to find them a small, comfortable house to live in, to help them move, and perhaps to send them an occasional basket of fish or meat. They don't need a carriage or horses, and only one or two servants. It would be foolish to give them any more.
I think you're absolutely right,
said John.
Now I understand what my father meant.
He decided to offer the assistance his wife suggested. Meanwhile, Henry's widow, Mrs. Dashwood, wanted to leave Norland as soon as possible. Mrs. Dashwood had come to strongly dislike her daughter-in-law. The only reason she stayed at Norland was because her eldest daughter, Eleanor, had formed a strong relationship with Fanny's brother, Edward Ferrars. Edward's father had died and left behind a lot of money, but Edward was not sure if he would receive the large inheritance. It depended on his mother's wishes. But Mrs. Dashwood didn't care about his money. He and her daughter seemed to love each other. Edward Ferrars was not handsome or especially gentlemanly. He was shy with a kind heart. His mother and sister wanted him to be a great man in society, but he was not ambitious. All he wanted were the comforts and quietness of private life. His younger brother Robert had greater potential.
Edward and Eleanor will most likely be married in a few months, Mrs. Dashwood told Marianne. Don't you approve of Edward?
He has no fire in his eyes. He doesn't seem to have any taste in books or music. Oh, how will I ever find a man I can truly love?
Worried Marianne.
You're only 17, laughed Mrs. Dashwood. It's too early for you to lose hope.
Eleanor had a very high opinion of Edward, but she was not sure she wanted to marry him. He often seemed strangely depressed, and she feared he thought of her only as a friend. But Marianne and her mother had no such doubts. They believed love could solve all problems. Marianne thought it was terrible when her sister described her feelings for Edward as respect rather than love.
Like him? Respect him? Oh, cold-hearted Eleanor, why are you ashamed to express your love?
Fanny also noticed the attachment between her brother and Eleanor. It made her uneasy. She told her mother-in-law, Mrs. Dashwood,
My mother and I expect Edward to marry well. It would be dangerous for Eleanor to try and trap Edward into marrying her.
This made Mrs. Dashwood furious. She decided that she and her daughters must leave Norland immediately. On that same day, she received a letter from a distant relative of hers named Sir John Middleton. He wrote to offer her a small house near his estate in Devonshire. His letter was so welcoming that Mrs. Dashwood wrote a letter to accept his offer right away. Mrs. Dashwood was happy to inform John and Fanny that she and her daughters would be leaving Norland to live in Devonshire. Edward Ferrars, who was in the room at that time, turned quickly toward her and said,
Devonshire? That's so far from here.
Yes, she replied. We'll be in Barton, 4 miles from the city of Exeter. It's only a cottage, but I hope you'll all visit us there.
Mrs. Dashwood's invitation to Edward was very affectionate, as she did not want to discourage his relationship with her Eleanor. Barton Cottage was furnished and ready for them to move in at once. Eleanor recommended her mother to sell their carriage and horses and to have only 3 servants. On his deathbed, Henry had told his wife of John's promise to care for her and her daughters. But as they left, it looked as if John would not offer any assistance. In fact, John was heard to complain about money and how he was in need of more himself. The sisters cried when they said goodbye to their beloved home, Norland.
Dear, dear Norland,
cried Marianne while walking alone in the park on their last evening.
I will miss you for the rest of my life.
During their journey to Devonshire, the sisters were too miserable to enjoy the trip. But as they entered Barton Valley, they became more cheerful. They took notice of the countryside where they would live. Barton Valley consisted of thick woods, clear streams, and expansive open fields. Barton Cottage was in excellent condition. There were 2 sitting rooms, 4 bedrooms, and 2 servants' quarters.
It was much smaller and poorer than Norland, but the girls made their best efforts to be happy. The next day, the Dashwoods received a visit from their landlord, Sir John Middleton. He was a good-looking, cheerful man. He welcomed them and offered them anything from his house and garden. His house was called Barton Park. He tried to make them as comfortable as possible and said he hoped they would come and visit his family soon. They went to Barton Park for dinner the next day. The estate was half a mile from their cottage. It was a large, stately house where the Middletons lived in great comfort. Sir John was a sportsman who enjoyed shooting, while Lady Middleton was a mother who spoiled her children. Sir John was a hospitable man and always had relatives or friends staying at their house. The noisier and more full of young people, the better. Barton Park was famous for its summer parties and winter dances. On the night the Dashwoods arrived for dinner, Sir John apologized that there were no handsome young male guests to meet them. The only guests were Colonel Brandon, a friend staying at the house, and Sir John's mother-in-law, Mrs. Jennings. Mrs. Jennings was a fat, cheerful old lady who talked and laughed a great deal. Colonel Brandon was silent, serious, and handsome. Eleanor and Marianne noticed he was an old bachelor on the wrong side of 35. After dinner, Marianne sang and played the piano. While Sir John was loud in showing his delight for the music, Colonel Brandon was quiet and listened attentively. Mrs. Jennings was a widow with a comfortable fortune. She had seen both of her daughters marry respectably, and now had nothing better to do than to try and marry off the rest of the world. She spent a lot of time matching young people with one another and planning their weddings. Mrs. Jennings informed the Middletons and the Dashwoods that Colonel Brandon was very much in love with Marianne. She felt it would be an excellent marriage because he was rich and she was beautiful.
"How cruel for Mrs. Jennings to say that,"
remarked Marianne.
"Colonel Brandon is old enough to be my father."
"But I cannot think of a man 5 years younger than me being as ancient as you say," replied Mrs. Dashwood.
"But didn't you hear him complaining of his bad back?"
said Marianne. "My child," laughed Mrs. Dashwood, "it must seem amazing to you that I've lived to the great age of 40. 35 has nothing to do with marriage. For example, a woman of 27 could easily consider marrying a man of Colonel Brandon's age."
"But a woman of 27 could consider becoming his nurse if her house is uncomfortable and her fortune is small. It would be a marriage of convenience."
"It seems a little hard," remarked Eleanor, "to accuse Colonel Brandon of needing nursing just because he complained of a pain in his shoulder on a cold, wet day." But Marianne's view about the Colonel did not change. After Eleanor left the room, Marianne said,
"Mother, I'm concerned about Edward Ferrars. I'm worried he is sick. We've been here 2 weeks, and he hasn't come to see Eleanor."
"Be patient, my daughter," Mrs. Dashwood answered. "I don't expect him so soon, and Eleanor doesn't either."
"It is so strange,"
exclaimed Marianne.
"How cold and calm their last goodbyes were. Eleanor is so self-controlled, never sad or restless or miserable. I don't understand her."